My house has been sold. I'm not sleeping on my own bed. My food's not in my fridge. It's actually in a woman's name, Magrita. It's her fridge now. So they're going to start collecting the stuff, and we're only coming over with our clothes. I'm excited. I wrote my English exam on Thursday, so I'll get my results the 29th, and then it's the part of the visa. I actually have to give them all my shofar pay slips. So I have to go look for that since 2000 and, wow, what's it, 2008, yeah. All my pay slips, and I have to prove that I haven't taken leave for more than 3 months. I must be able to prove that, which I can. So I'll do all of that. And then, yeah, we're on our way. We're excited. My youngest one was crying this morning because she misses me. She's my bookmark this morning. It's 0 minus 1 for me. It's 40 for them in Paul, 40 degrees Celsius for them. They're enjoying it. The one thing that I do want to say, now that you know where we are, the other thing, I think it's fairly safe to say, Alma and myself, we've decided we're going to do homeschool just for the interim coming here with the kids, just to give them enough space to grow and just to see everything. But the one thing God challenged me, and I know what I have to put on here, well, there's a lot of things, but the one thing that I do know that God said when I came, it's going to be embracing culture. It's what Paul said, I've become all things to all men. And it's something that I really feel I have to put on here. So Wednesday, you know what I'm going to put on here. It's embracing that thing and just being part of this. Look, where my head and heart set now, what I'm thinking God is saying to me is that I'm never going to go back to South Africa again. So this is for keeps. And that's why we're selling everything. I'm not going into this half-heartedly. God may decide otherwise that we can go back. Or maybe it's Ethiopia, I don't know. He knows best. But this is the way I've been doing it. And Almri told me the first time when we were contemplating about this in me, I told Luke I gave God a blank check. Almri didn't like the answer. Because she knows when I say blank check, I really mean it. I'm willing to do and go wherever God says. So she also, it just takes a bit of time to work things through. You know, we all have our ways of working through things. So it's been brilliant here for me. I've been enjoying the weather. I'm enjoying the time here. It was just awesome. That is just the way that I do stuff. I do it and I do it and I do it. And I do it over and over again. And I love it and I enjoy it and I enjoy people. So the one thing, thinking about it this morning, snowing here and the weather back in SA, most probably would be that there would be people complaining. It's too cold here. And then someone on that side would say, oh, it's so hot here. You know, and haven't you noticed in hearing this morning, it is so difficult to please people. Have you noticed it? It's really difficult to please people nowadays. And unfortunately, it has crept into church. It has. The music must be great. The lighting must be great. I almost said the lightning. The lighting must be great. Man, we have to jump through so many hoops. Just to keep people satisfied. And it's a horrible thing. I mean, have you ever been in a situation where you said, God, is this really your best for me? Really, God? I don't know if you've been there. You're sitting there and you're thinking, God, this can't be your best for me. And so I've just entitled this as an introduction because next week Sunday I'll preach. Then I'm just going to share a few thoughts around it. God's best is always more than enough. It's biblical contentment. And unfortunately, the church's not content. It's not. And I think God is wanting to talk to his church in terms of being the builders and what we're going to do this year because of just settling this within our hearts. What are we satisfied with? It is horrible if I expect Ian to give me something that he can't give me. Have you ever been, I mean, if you're married, you know this. When your wife expects something from you and you know that you can't give it to her. Now, sometimes we corner people and we want them to give it to us. It's actually very painful and hurtful. You know, it's like there's no water in your glass, but somebody wants water, but you're in a desert. And that person corners you and kicks you and just say, I need water, and you can't. And that's exactly where so many believers find themselves. They expect other believers to give them something that only God can give them. And that is a bad fight. That's a horrible fight. That's a fight we will always lose. And it's the same for my wife when I ask her something and only God can give it to me. And that's basically what I believe God is saying to his church. My people, I want you to be content with me. I want you to be content only with me. Like the songs we sang this morning, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. It's only him in every circumstance we ever find me, it's Jesus. I want to scream it out from every mountaintop. God is good, you know. It's funny, God's always good when he's blessing us. Hey, hey, God is good. But have you seen when things are tough, God's not good anymore, then we go a step down, then God knows what he's doing. When it's tough, God always knows what he's doing. But he's never quite good then, but he knows what he's doing. It's funny, but yeah, I found myself there. So this morning, I quickly want to read a scripture. I'm going to preach on it next Sunday again. Biblical contentment. In other words, having an inner satisfaction despite my circumstances. Just an inner satisfaction. I need to be here. This is where God has placed me. God is here. He is here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord till verse 20. I'm reading from the ESV. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have received your concern for me. Paul's writing this from jail. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am, I'm content, man. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in every circumstance. I've learned the secret. I just want you to notice that contentment is not something that we have when we say yes to God. Contentment is something that we must learn. We must learn it. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, and I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. It's interesting that little verse that we quote so much is the sandwich between what Paul's saying here. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. In other words, Paul saying, the way you bless me, it's not that I'm seeking what you're giving me. There's fruit that you're going to receive. Now that's cool. It's like Paul saying, you know, when you bless me, something's going to happen to you, and I long for that. That's what Paul's saying there. I received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a beautiful piece of writing from Paul, and then he ends in it in prayer. He actually starts worshiping and he's praying. But, you know, talking about this discontent that creeps into our hearts, and sometimes the way that we expect things from people to make us happy, people can't make us happy. Circumstances can't make us happy. It can't. It really can't. And there's a brilliant psychologist, Stuart McAllister. You can go check him out on... he writes articles for Knowing and Doing, the C.S. Lewis Institute. But he says that looking good and feeling good has replaced being good and doing good. We want to look good and we want to feel good, but we don't want to do good and we don't want to be good. And I guess we soon to see why Paul says to Timothy that people in the last days will be lovers of themselves. In other words, narcissistic. They will be lovers of money, greedy, and they'll be lovers of pleasure, hedonistic, in the way that they do stuff. And Paul had good reason to say that. And so for Paul to say this, there's three providential resources of contentment that I just want to drop with you. And then I would really like to pray for everybody this morning. I would really like to pray for everybody. So the first providential source of contentment is God's presence, God's person. I just want to say this quickly. Sometimes we go for God's presence. Sometimes we go for God's promises. Sometimes we go for God's power, but we don't know His person. It's like me having my wife with me, all the benefits that comes with it, and I just take it for granted. It's like I don't say thank you for the food anymore. I can see her, I can hear her, I can smell my wife, she's next to me, I can touch her, I can talk with her, but I don't know her heart. It is possible. And Paul says, in this piece of scripture, I rejoiced in the Lord. Paul was saying, look here, just because I know that God's here, everything's cool, man. I know it's not the best of places to write this letter from. It's from jail. A few of my friends, they've dropped me. It's not good, but I know I can see God here, and I know He's here because I know He's here with me. That was what made it for Paul. God's presence, God's heart. And that's what's going to do it for us. I'm going to give you the good news on why I want to share this and why I'm starting this year. Later on, most of the New Year's resolutions are centered around how can I make myself better. Most New Year's resolutions. There's very few New Year's resolutions centered around how can I know God better. Very few. But this thing, God's presence, His heart, knowing Him. I mean, we it's so easy to feel that God is here. It's so, you can hear Him, you can smell Him, but then you don't know His heart. And that is what I want us just to go for this year. God, we want to know You. We want to know who You are. We want to know Your heart. We want to know how You smell. We want to know how You talk. We want to know how You feel about this. The second thing is God's power, because Paul says, look here, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Power. Sometimes I think, God, how did I make 2015? It can only be His power, His supernatural grace. And then there's grace called, what they call, it's a grace for everyone. It's an ordinary grace. Because the sun sets and rises on the evil and the good. So even those who are evil, they've received the Lord's grace. Sometimes I was wondering, God, how does this gangster live to be 85? It's God's power. His sovereign power. God will use evil to punish evil. God would allow evil. God would allow evil in our lives for us to grow. But it's all part of His power. He's sovereign. He decides. So Paul learned this. Paul said, look here, even if I have a lot, it's fine. It's God. Even if I don't have a lot, it's still fine. It's God. He strengthens me. And man, what a good place it would be to live from there and then lost. And we're going to stop here. It's God's promises. Going back to this, His word. And Paul says, look here, there's a lot of things that I just go back in what God has promised me. And that's where I'm at this morning. I mean, one of the outreaches that we are going to do, the one word that God gave me for the UK is that all the underground stations, in His mind, He sees it as wells that has been closed. And we must go pray those wells open. All the people coming out of there, just coming to Him. And that is why the week before Empower 21, we wanted the pastors to be here just to backpack with the families in the church. And we're going to walk the city again and we're going to pray. We're going to send teams out. You're going to take this underground line. You're going to take that line. You're going to take the 5, 6 of you and pray. Walk the land and pray. Embrace the culture. Embrace the people. But more than that, be content with what God is doing now. And so me coming here, for me, I told Hercules yesterday, I can only come and enjoy what God is already doing here. I don't want to do anything else. He's doing something here. He's doing something in this church, and I'm enjoying it to the fullest. I'm so thankful I'm here. I mean, I was a DJ. I did 700 people on a weekend to 1,500 people, 5,000 when it's December holidays, DJing 5,000, between 5,000 and 7,000 people on a Saturday night, Saturday evening. So for the whole weekend, 20,000 people. I'm used to crowds. Crowds doesn't faze me. Big church, small church. I mean, I've played in clubs where the amp room was 250,000 rand. Only the amps, they've got their own air cons. The amps, than those amp rooms. I've played in clubs. There's a lot of stuff, but that the one thing, me living that lifestyle, was I was chasing something that I never quite found until 16 May 2004. When I woke up in a stadium, I woke up, I was sleeping in the dew on my right-hand side. So now I must picture this. I'm walking in the road, the one side of my body is wet, the other side is dry. So this is spiky and this is like, you know, I really looked bad, and I just heard God's voice saying, "My son, what are you doing?" And this, that morning when my mom opened that door, she didn't say anything, but her eyes looked at me, and her eyes said exactly the same thing. You know, a mother's eyes can talk. When she just looks at you, and you just know her eyes saying, "What are you doing?" Something changed within me. I came to what Paul, where Paul was, I think. Paul said, "Look, I've known her. I've met the one. I've met him. And it's the only thing that can satisfy me when things are tough." 2 years prior to that, when my brother died in a horrific car crash with five of his friends, the truck drove over them. They came from a nightclub, took the M5. The guy that drove the car went into the wrong lane as he came from the N1 onto the M5. And the man that testified in the trial, he said it was too late. He really couldn't stop. And so the 10-ton truck went over them. Five of them died. I never wanted to go see my brother in the morgue. You know why? I figured it out why God was speaking to me, because I told everybody that's not my brother in the morgue. It's part of his body, but he's not there. And there God switched something on. He spoke to me in saying, "Look, if that's not your brother, then where is he?" And I immediately knew what God was saying, although I wasn't saved. I knew that there was something better, that there was something bigger. And you know what? When God visits you like that, it stays with you forever. It never changes. And I know that's what God's just wanting to do with his body. He's just wanting to tell everybody, you know what? Every good and perfect thing is from above. There's a lot that you have. There's a lot that you've got. But those times when you look me into the eye and I speak to you as my child, that's the best that you'll ever have here. Ever. And I really believe God is wanting us to tell people the supernatural stuff he will do. God can speak to anybody, wherever he wants, however he wants. His arm is not too short. I mean, try not listening to him. We heard it from the offering. You try running from God. You try not throwing him over the boat, Jonah. I mean, God speaks clearly, even to unbelievers. It was amazing, Rob, just hearing how God spoke to the unbelievers on the boat. And when they threw Jonah over, they started worshiping. Now, that's what God can do. I really believe it. I really trust it. Him in that. And so this morning, I want to pray for us. Could somebody please play the keyboard? I just want to, you know, pray for us. That in whatever we're facing, whatever we're thinking, whatever challenges there are, that we'll just have that word. You know that one word that just keeps you going? That one touch from God just allows you to run on it. It's like nobody's empty. There's just this thing that's driving you, that's giving you that hope again, that's making you smile, that's making you excited. And you just know it's God. You're not chasing after everything. Just the way you are as you're standing there, you just know, oh man, this is so amazing from a dad visiting me. And you know what? The church is full of prodigal sons, although we come to church. Do you know how many prodigal sons there are in church, coming to church every Sunday, going to small group every Wednesday? You know, there's a lot of prodigal sons, and I'll tell you why. The problem with the prodigal son was the fact that he looked God in the eye and he said, "Look, what you have here on this farm, it's not good enough. So give me." The give me culture. Give me and I'll go. And then sometimes we have to sit with the pigs, eat a bit of bacon. It was bad for a Jewish boy until he came to his senses. And when he went back, he didn't say, "Dad, give me." He said, "Father, make me. Don't give me now. There's a contentment that I have with you. There's something that we had." And God said, "Look here, I know you understand something. And this is why I believe God is wanting to talk to us about contentment. Because you know what, my son? The money that you wasted, there's more than enough. I can give it to you again and again and again." And at this stage, God is going to bless content believers out of their socks. I can tell you that upfront. I'm not promising anything. And do you know why? Because when we are content, anything that we have turns to gold. When we are content, this building is more than enough. When we are content where we are. So what are the things that we shouldn't be content with? We must be discontent with our relationship with God always. More. Deeper. More intimate with Him. That's the discontent that must grow in our hearts. And as He reveals Himself, there's just the satisfaction within our heart that brings us to a place where we just want to sing. And then we say, like the Apostle Paul, "You know, when I had a lot, I know how to behave. When I don't have much, I know how to behave." And that's my heart. And God's going to do it for us. I really know He's going to do it for us. It's funny, when I'm at my worst, I'm just enough for my kids. I mean, they don't know about the arguments that we and my wife have, but when they walk into the room and they see me, it's like I'm their world. "Dad, you rock my world, man. You're the best dad." And then I think, "You don't know what happened between me and your mother now." They even love me in the morning when I haven't brushed my teeth. You know, their faces are in you. They don't care if your mouth smells. They say, "Ew, Dad, but you rock, Dad." You know, it's just such a beautiful picture. There's so many beautiful pictures of contentment that God is drawing for us to see. And all that I want to do this morning, I want all of us just to come and stand here. I would really like to pray for you, seriously. It's just an open invitation. I want to pray. And what I want to ask God is that God will just put that seed and that word in your heart that will make you run again. Doesn't matter what happens. So just come. I want to pray for everybody. If somebody wants to come and help me to pray, pray for one another. We're going to do this. I'm looking forward to becoming all things to all men. This is going to be on this card. I don't know how it's going to pan out this year. But that's what I'm looking forward to. So let's just...